lot of batters are on Twitter always crowing about, oh, that's not optimal strategy. Because I took three mathematics classes at my Midland school on the East Coast. My mommy and daddy paid $30K a year for. But the fact is, it was the smart move. The Rams could not lose the game the way he did it. The Rams could have lost the game if he went in for the touchdown.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The Cleveland Browns made some news today with the firing of head coach Hugh Jackson and also offensive coordinator Todd Haley. Jackson's record with the Browns was 3-36-1. RJ, what is the Vegas perspective on the changes in Cleveland?
Is that good, 3-36-1?
It's bordering on atrocious, I would say.
Which side of the border?
Yes, yeah, that's a close call.
I tell you this, they often say the Vegas spread is the great equalizer. Well, not Hugh Jackson. 14-26. 14-26 against the spread. ATS margin, meaning in all those games, 2 years plus, what, seven games? Or eight games they've played now. 2 years plus eight. So 2.5 years, the Browns. No playoff games, obviously. The Vegas spread was wrong about the Browns by 155 points. So ATS margin minus 155. So by any measure, Jackson fell short. That's the easy answer. In fact, Warren Sharp had an interesting stat. If you look at teams in the history of, well, let's go back to 1975. So NFL 1975, that's the year the Steelers drafted, by the way, Lynn Swann and Jack Lambert in the same draft. I think Stallworth was in that draft too, like three Hall of Famers in the same draft. Think about that. In 75 onward, you look at all the teams that were plus 11 turnovers or better at the halfway mark, eight games in. So the Browns exactly plus 11. No team has had a losing record. None. Right? Browns are 2-5-1. So we've got 40 plus years of history saying if you get that many turnovers, you can't lose because turnovers matter so much. And the Browns are 2-5-1.
And think about the narrative here. The Browns, the worst team turnover differential last year, minus 29. We kept saying if only they could have a zero turnover differential, this would be a borderline playoff team. Yep. Well, maybe not.
And the wise guys did bet the heck out of the Browns all of last year. Seemingly waiting for that to turn around.
Every week, they would go ahead and go to the windows.
Could it mean that Mayfield's not as good as Kaiser? No. Let's not say that. That's crazy. That is crazy. Let's look ahead. That's what we do in Vegas. RJ Bell here, straight out of Vegas. Fez, two ways to look at this coaching change for the Browns. One is X's and O's. What's it going to mean to the schemes, etc. Number two, team mindset. Let's start with X's and O's. Is this an upgrade, downgrade? How are you handicapping the next game for the Browns?
It's a downgrade from an X's and O's perspective. Let's face it. Vegas didn't like Hugh Jackson. I didn't like him as well. But the mere fact that Greg Williams replaces him, I don't like Greg Williams as well.
Got a lot of hate in your heart.
I do. Well, I bet on the Browns, and they've cost
peace
me
and
money.
Love.
No peace and love. No.
I respect the honesty, actually. Ringo Starr says peace and love. Fez says no. you hippie-dippy Beatle.
I love violent Fezzik. I love violent Steve Fezzik on a Monday. I'm into it.
I mean, some say he can bench 200 pounds. I don't think you know about this, Jonas. On the podcast, we have a bet. Can Fezzik bench 200 pounds, right? Now, I vetoed the bet because of I thought there was at least a 50% chance of injury. So they've actually converted it. Can he do 155 seven times?
Okay.
Which gives him a little better chance.
Yes.
Who do you make the favorite? The barbell or Fezzik?
Hearing his tone just now, I'm going with Fezzik. I'm not messing with that guy.
Brad bet against them. We'll give you guys an update on that next week. All right, Fez. So all joking aside with all your hate, you think downgrade coaching-wise?
A one-point downgrade because of the offensive coordinator now. So we lose Haley. Obviously, Jackson is better on the offensive side than the defensive side. Now we've got a guy, Freddie Kitchens, the running back coach, is the new offensive coordinator. I'm going to be honest.
That sounds like a fake name.
I think it belongs like, to
get Freddie Kitchens in here to take over the operation.
Maybe. Sounds like someone from Alabama. I think he was starting a quarterback for Alabama back in the mid-90s.
Maybe he could trade for Eli Apple and snacks. That would be a better fit, right?
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rams beating the Packers 29-27 on Sunday. Now, that's a story in itself. The story that we care about on this show here on Straight Outta Vegas is the decision by Todd Gurley to take a knee and not run into a wide-open end zone and run up the score for the bettors who had the L.A. Rams minus 8.5 or 9. He took a knee at the 4-yard line, and the Rams ran the ball out, and they stuck with a 2-point win. After the game, Todd Gurley said the following. Quote, forget fantasy and forget Vegas. We got the win. That's all that matters. RJ, you being the voice of Vegas, what did you make of Todd Gurley's decision and his comments afterwards?
I love it because first of all, smart move. And a lot of batters are on Twitter always crowing about, oh, that's not optimal strategy. Because I took 3 mathematics classes at my Midland school on the East Coast. My mommy and daddy paid $30,000 a year for. Okay, fine. Okay. And sometimes those guys are right.
Those are my friends, RJ.
I thought you were going to say that's me. Northwestern isn't Midland. I'll give you that much fast. But the fact is, it was the smart move. The Rams could not lose the game the way he did it. The Rams could have lost the game if he went in for the touchdown. And in this super me, NFL that we've got, wow. Give credit to a guy who said, I'll take one less touchdown. And it also reinforces when you get your jumbo contract, maybe the stats don't mean as much. Keep your players happy. I give Gurley a ton of credit.
Let's give McVay a ton of credit also. He actually has a name for this play. He calls it the Rolex, where the time is more important than the score on the scoreboard.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
It's a Monday tradition here. Every single week here on SOV on Fox Sports Radio, we start in London, where the Eagles took care of the Jacksonville Jaguars 24-18.
Yeah, we're going super rapid fire here. Jags were 3-0 against the spread in London in their last 3 games and covering by 50-plus points combined. The fact they lose this one against the spread, where they typically, the Jags, have an advantage, very bad sign.
The Bears, 24-10 winners over the Jets.
Jets wide receivers were so thin. There was a ton of money on Chicago. It was justified. Darnold is struggling on the road, and I think the ability to run the ball is the key. Jets struggle to run on the road. Look at their wide receivers next week. If they don't get healthy, you got to be really pessimistic about the Jets.
Ryan Fitzmagic tied the game late for Tampa Bay, but it was the Bengals on a field goal from Randy Bullock, 37-34, the final.
Yeah, we're going to debate Winston against Fitzpatrick this week upcoming. But here's something that tells you Tampa Bay played better than people think. NFL teams +4 in turnover margin, that's what Tampa Bay was, had covered 22 straight games against the spread before the Bengals, who were -3.5, failed to cover against Tampa. So think about it. Tampa still covered the spread, even though they were -4 in turnovers. That's something that had not happened 22 straight games. And in the last 30 years, teams -4 only cover 4% of the time. So in a weird way, you got to look to downgrade Cincinnati, even though they won the game.
Seahawks over the Lions in Detroit, 28-14.
Seattle's running the ball. 42 rushes, only 17 passes for the Seahawks. 4th straight game running for more than 155 yards for Seattle.
The Chiefs took care of the Broncos 30-23 at Arrowhead.
Yeah, first ATS loss of the season for Kansas City. One food for thought with Denver. 3 of their losses this season to the Rams, best team in the NFL. Kansas City twice, second best team by many. Those 3 games, Denver's lost by a combined 13 points. How bad can they be?
Redskins beat the Giants 20-13.
This is a situation, Adrian Peterson, Father Time might be undefeated, but Adrian's winning this round. He is on pace to rush for 1,570 yards.
In Hugh Jackson's final game as Browns head coach, they lose to the Steelers 33-18.
When the Steelers are motivated, they're one of the five best teams in the NFL. When they're not, they're not. And Pittsburgh's been mighty motivated for a while. I know going to Baltimore feels like a motivated spot. I'm a Steelers fan. I haven't seen Pittsburgh motivated like five games in a row, probably ever in the Tomlin era. So I'm a little skeptical of Pittsburgh. It feels like an all-in spot. Maybe Pittsburgh's been all-in more than a few times or a few too many times recently.
Carolina stays perfect at home, 36-21 over the Ravens.
Carolina at home now. Perfect this year straight up. Last 33 games, 27-6 straight up. 27-6. Carolina, one of the most underrated home field advantages in the NFL.
The Colts beat the Raiders in Oakland, 42-28.
Huge line move in this game. We talked about on Straight Out of Vegas all of last week. The look-ahead line, early line, had Oakland favored. Indianapolis closed a three-point favor. The line was move was right when it comes to who covered the spread, but the assumption of that line move was Oakland would not play hard, that the front office said, oh, this season's pretty much over. Well, Oakland has played hard, and they did play hard. So I'm still optimistic they keep playing. They did in this game.
As we discussed earlier, it was the Rams 29-27 over the Packers.
Packers have gotten healthier, and that team, that was not a fluke yesterday. I think the Packers are better than they've been at any point this season.
The Arizona Cardinals, an 18-15 win over the 49ers.
The 49ers, without Jimmy G, now have won two of their last 31 games. That's all I need to say. Two of 31.
And the Saints beat the Vikings 30-20 on Sunday Night Football.
Minnesota outgained the Saints by over 150 yards. Turnovers told the story. Minnesota's going to get downgraded by almost everybody. I'm not sure that's justified.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Let's go over college football from a Vegas perspective. What was the biggest takeaway of the weekend?
I think Clemson crushing Florida State 59-10. This Clemson team, RJ, has really separated themselves from the rest of the pack outside of Alabama in college football. Last three games for Clemson, a total combined cover, the great equalizer, is the spread, according to Vegas. A total combined cover of 87 points for Clemson. That's 29 points per game last 3 weeks.
So last 3 weeks, they've exceeded expectation by almost 90 points.
Yep.
Now, Clemson's been a roller coaster for you as a handicapper. Entering the year, you, Brad Powers, were higher on Clemson than most anybody. I mean, the market was high, but you were even higher.
Yep.
Then you got sour on him like a jilted lover. Now it seems like you're coming back. Oh, look, he texted me late. Or she, who knows? Right? It could work. She just needed to grow up. You know how that goes, right? In your head?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So tell me about the roller coaster.
Well, the roller coaster.
I'm talking about Clemson.
Yeah. Wow. Clemson obviously started the season clear cut number two team, in my opinion, besides Alabama in college football. And then.
And let's be clear. You said the following on Straight Out of Vegas, yep, Weekend Edition. If both teams had the exact same robotic quarterback, that Clemson was the better team.
I still think that.
Whoa. You still think that?
Yep.
So right now, if a robot quarterback took over both teams, Alabama, Clemson, neutral field, Clemson's favorite.
Yep, I do.
Hey now.
That's strong.
Yeah.
Okay. So what caused your feelings to ebb?
Well, first data point wasn't great. Texas A&M defense gave up 500 yards. That was a Clemson defense that I expected to be top two, top three in the country. Bad data point. And then the Syracuse debacle, where Clemson nearly loses outright as a 3-touchdown-plus favorite. Kelly Bryant leaves. Trevor Lawrence, the true freshman, probably comes in a game or two before expectations. So I'm soured on Clemson at that point.
All right, so I'm confused. You're just going through the game. So they played some good games. They've played some bad games. Why don't you blend it all together and think, hey, this team's not as good as I thought? What's changed?
Right now, I think Clemson is a little bit better than what I expected.
So how could that be? Because you didn't expect them to play as poorly as they did the games they played poorly.
To me, it's all about the quarterback. Right now, Clemson has a top 10 quarterback in college football in a true freshman, Trevor Lawrence, top 10 in passing efficiency, just lit up the Seminoles for 4 touchdowns and 300-plus yards. Clemson has not only above-average quarterback play, they're getting really good quarterback play. And if you had told me that before the season, I'd been betting a whole heck of a lot on Clemson to win the national title.
So the odds, though, that you can get on Clemson to win the title are better today than they were to start the season.
Not about the same, right? Right in
Wait a minute. What was Alabama's odds entering the year? They were like plus 150, right?
Now plus 250.
Plus 250. And now they're like minus 300.
Yep.
But Clemson's odds haven't changed.
Not much. They're still right around that 4-5-1 range.
All right, well, then let's assume they've stayed the same. Sounds like you're making a monster bet on Clemson to win the title.
No, I'm not.
Well, you said if you knew that before the season, you would.
What I didn't also know is Tua Tagovailoa would have an historically great season at quarterback for Alabama.
That's Brad Powers. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Now, let's go down the list. Bama's your best team, right?
Absolutely.
You put your power ratings out every Tuesday?
Yep, Alabama at least a touchdown over Clemson.
Okay, so you can get those at pregame.com or Brad's Twitter, at BradPower7. All right, Alabama 1, Clemson 2. Who's 3?
Michigan.
Michigan. Interesting. Okay, now, so Michigan's 3.
And really right in there with Georgia. Both about pick them on a neutral field.
So wait, Georgia and Michigan.
Yep.
And you know what I think about Harbaugh.
He smells.
So I think that's a little overrated for Michigan. But okay, we'll see. Georgia. Where's Notre Dame? So you're saying Georgia's better than Notre Dame?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Georgia would be favored by 4 or 5 points on a neutral.
And Michigan's better than Notre Dame?
Absolutely.
I wonder if they played what would happen. Oh, wait. They did
play.
Long
time ago.
like a month and a half ago.
Vegas agrees with
you've
me.
You've got laundry in your basket you've been meaning to do since that game.
Yeah.
All right. It's not that long ago. All right. And so Notre Dame's got it. All right, so you're saying Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Michigan. I mean, Notre Dame's got to be next, right?
No, Oklahoma. A resurgent Oklahoma team.
Oh, my God, Oklahoma. They do look better without Mike Stoops.
Much better on
defense.
Feels
like a team's come around.
Two best defensive performances of the season, the last two games without Mike Stoops.
Now, that's strong. All right, so Notre Dame's after Oklahoma.
No, I would have Ohio State.
Over Notre Dame.
Yep.
And then Notre Dame's got to be clearly the next team.
Nah, not clearly. You got to figure in LSU. I get it. LSU, I mean, they are number 4 in the AP poll.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.